Hey, everybody, it's Rob. Thanks for tuning in. This week, we're going to go through the recap of the 2023 Bullhorn Grid Report, where we sat down with SVP of Global Enterprise, Gretchen Kuechner of Bullhorn. Next week, we're going to publish our episode where we go through the 2024 report, where we sit down with SVP of Field Sales, Donnie Payne, also of Bullhorn, to go through what's going on for 2024. Let us know what you guys think. Obviously, if we missed anything, if you think there's trends that are not properly portrayed, I would love to hear your thoughts and look forward to seeing you guys tune in next week. Thanks. Hey, LJ, how many talks at conferences have you given on AI this year?
Oh, my goodness. I actually have no idea. It's been so many.
Oh, God. And how many times have you taught this AI to supercharge your desk course already?
Over 2 dozen times now.
2 dozen. God, you were at 8 the last time I asked you, like a month ago. Good Lord.
I know. It has been exceedingly popular and it's gotten rave reviews. So we're super excited about what I think is going to be the leveling the playing field. The great equalizer is generative. And, you know, I've been quoted as saying, AI won't replace you, but someone that knows how to use it will. And so you need to get on it if you have it.
That's right, guys. So check out the Supercharger Desk with AI that Lauren is teaching via Leap Consulting. And you can find her at lauren@leapconsultingsolutions.com.
What is happening, Rob?
Lauren, it is one of my favorite episodes of the year. How are you? I am fantastic.
You're giving away secrets already. Shh.
What do you mean? We already advertised this one.
Don't tell anybody yet.
I can see the quiet parts out loud.
We got to ease into it. We got to create FOMO, right? We got to create FOMO.
Create curiosity and interest.
You're creating.
What is this, like a LinkedIn post?
Yes, you got to tap into the FOMO.
You want me to hook them?
We gotta beat the algorithm, right? I feel like I'm doing that on a daily basis with LinkedIn.
Oh, wait.
Good God.
Oh, wait. Fun fact.
The moving target.
Fun fact, Twitter actually published their full algorithm.
That's lame.
Yeah. Elon got a little wild and he told the engineers to just put it out. Yeah. And someone summarized it. And it was really amusing because at one point in the last couple months, if you mentioned Elon, your post got like a massive boost. And then if you were mentioning other words, they were like massively downgraded. So.
All right.
Shout out to nepotism in the algorithm.
to favoritism in the algorithm.
Yeah, whatever. Algorithm, yeah. Right? Sorry, that was the right word. Anyway.
A little bit of bias. And
right.
You know what? Happy birthday, Rob.
Oh,
yes,
well,
happy
you.
Birthday.
Big 4-0.
That's a big one. Do you feel older, grayer? What are we working with?
I think I'm still the same. I like my new haircut. I'm feeling good. I'm getting trimmer. I don't know. I feel good.
I got to tell you, I was in the best shape of my life for my 40th birthday, mostly because I was just trying to run away from 40. Now I'm just limping towards 50, right? I ran too hard past my 40s. That's what it is.
Well, yeah. Tomorrow's recovery day, so I will be going to yoga and trying to be.
Yeah.
No, but I told my wife that I wanted to throw a Irish bar party, basically is what I described to her. And that's what we did.
But the
DJ gave me the microphone at some point.
About two hours in.
And yeah, I won't share any of the details beyond what I've already shared.
But I just need to know this. How many cocktails were you in when you were given the microphone?
I think I was drinking natural wine and I was about 4 or 5 glasses in.
Oh, boy.
It was really good rosé.
Okay. Which, so we were feeling ourselves.
I'm like 200 pounds, so that's not the worst. You know, I'm not as bad as I was at the end, but it was a good time. No, and it was really funny because I think I would say on the mic that I'm a dangerous man with a mic in my hand, like at least once an hour, twice an hour.
And good. Well,
my wife was trying to take it from me, guys, and she actually got. I gave it to her for a Britney song. She didn't sing. She gave it to the DJ. I looked at the DJ and he just held it up for me. I was like, come get it. Like, I'm not keeping this from you. You're having too much fun. So he gave it back to me, to my wife's like dismay. But the best part is I found out yesterday is my uncle walked up to my wife. Cause my wife is an opera. I was like, she was a singing teacher, a singing major at UM. And my uncle was like, I'm disappointed that you didn't sing when she had the microphone.
So
it's hard for classically trained musicians to like
see
like,
this.
I never did karaoke because it was against my religion. First of all, singing with a microphone. You know, it's just not something that a classically trained singer is.
It's still unacceptable, Lauren. As much as I love that, you stand up for her. All right, guys.
I'm sorry. Mandy's
my birth. Yeah.
I've got Mandy.
She's always right. That's literally the word. Like, she is always right. Anyway, guys, we have Gretchen Kiefner with us.
Gretchen Kiefner, guys, from Bullhorn. This is the episode.
Yeah. So we're going to go over. Hey, so how are you?
Good.
You were involved. You were involved in laughing, but you weren't like, didn't say hello yet. Formally, Gretchen is the SVP of Global Enterprise for Bullhorn. So she takes care of all the big boys globally, essentially. Has lots of great insights. I meant like companies. I should probably say both at that point. That's on me. But we're going to go over the grid report with y'all. And Gretchen's also going to throw in a little more color and context, right, from the kind of more the international side and maybe more insights of what the bigger players are experiencing and talking about, even outside the grid report. So really, really excited.
Awesome. And you know, we love data here on the podcast, so we will not be short on data here. So this makes me very excited.
All right. So Gretchen, do you want to just kind of run through the four key insights and then we'll dive deeper into each one? You want to just tell the people we're going to tell them?
Yes, I think that sounds great. And just a little bit of background. The Grid Report. So those who don't know, it's the Global Recruitment Insights and Data. And there's a lot more past what, we'll share in the conversation today. So happy to, Rob and Lauren, I'm assuming we'll post this out on social media, then we can post a link directly to the Grid Report. And the Grid Report is our staffing firm survey. We've done this for well over a decade. We survey over 2,000 firms globally. We also run a talent survey, which is a little bit newer, and it's really cool to have both of those data pieces now to see what's consistent or what's not consistent, which are usually where, the big ahas come from. And there actually were some pretty big ahas in this year's grid report, especially when it comes to changing priorities. And that's what's really cool, too. When you do a survey for over a decade, you get to see the trend line and how it. And Rob mentioned, four key insights that we'll hit on in our time together today. And the first is that there is a correlation that we see in the data between firms who are growing the most and firms who are investing in technology. And I'll speak a little bit more about the actual technology they're investing in and what is really propelling their success. But it came across in the data in a very concrete way. So more to come on that. But also that top performers are doubling down on digital transformation. And I'll give you a little snippet of data now. Over 70% of staffing firms are really still in the very beginning stages of digital transformation. It's like 30% or so that are, more advanced. So if you feel like you're behind right now, you're not alone. If you feel like you're a little more advanced, you certainly have competitive edge and you are likely very accelerated. So we'll share a bit more about that, too. And I mentioned big ahas in the data. I think the biggest one for me is that for the first time in 6 years, winning clients is the top priority for staffing firms. And just some context, last year, this is the difference a year makes. Last year, that wasn't even in the top three. It had fallen off the list. And here it is again, number one. And there are reasons for that that we'll get into. And then lastly, and I think this is no surprise to anyone, certainly not in HA, the labor market remains tight, right? An increasing number of participants said that there is a talent shortage up from last year and the year before. Again, I don't think any surprise, but it certainly informs the way that firms are shaping their strategies moving forward.
Yeah, I'd agree. And I got to say from a consultant perspective, right, because we talk with all different types of firms. There's so much validation just in all of this data, in the live conversations that we're having, sales teams that are like, teach me how to sell again, and recruiting teams that are, teach me how to recruit. We became really good order takers, during COVID. And I think that firms are now going,
we might need a little refresher course on how to proactively sell and proactively recruit and leverage the tools that are at our disposal. And so, and then that's correlated to those that are still investing in technology, because there's a really cool corresponding stat that comes to this. 84% of recruiters are actually looking at an agency's tech stack and considering it as either an attractor or detractor, which I think is fascinating, right? So if you aren't doubling down on technology, it could not only be a detriment to the way you service business, but to the way that you attract potential talent internally, which I thought was fascinating.
How about retain talent internally too?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
What's the sales piece stood out to me. I love this idea that the top performers are doubling down on digital transformation. And one of the things that I think is important to focus on is not just buying the technology, but you actually have to develop the internal talent to help you leverage it. Lauren's like, yeah, of course. But that is not a pass though, Lauren, because we clearly, your entire business is to fix people's messes. So
help people build on their strengths, right? We help people optimize, right?
Yes.
Or sometimes we act.
Let's be generous. Okay. You mostly help people clean up their messes. Like I'm saying it nicely. Yeah. Oh, a little bit. No, but I really think that there is this huge opportunity in just knowing that if you are going to buy technology, you're going to need the skilled, not overly skilled people in your organization to help you leverage it. Right.
Yes.
So I love that. And I think that this, and Gretchen, don't kill me for saying this out loud. I've said it before on the podcast. When I was selling HereFish in 2019, I'd almost got to the point where I'd have to ask if they had someone who could run it.
Yeah.
Because I didn't want to sell it to them if they weren't going to use it.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I'll actually get into some data about how firms are using or not using what they bought. And I think one of the biggest drivers, if they're not using it, is because they don't have someone or a group and has that as a core competency. So they can hire for it. They can partner with someone like Lauren and Leap Consulting, certainly. But it is really, it is really important to consider that, because the technology is only the technology. Like anything, it's what you do with it. And that's where you really gain competitive edge, is how you design it to work within your recruitment lifecycle.
That's a really great point, Gretchen, because there is this misnomer that technology will fix all that ails my agency, right? And that is too much pressure to put on a small piece of software, right? Or a large piece of software for that matter, right? It's not only how you use it, but how you continue to use it, how you adopt it, how you implement it, all of that comes into it. And I see this, all the time from a buying perspective, is something hurts. So, we trigger buy and that can oftentimes just add more confusion to an already confusing process.
For sure.
All right. You ready to dive in a little deeper?
Yeah. Let's dive.
Yeah. So point one, right? We got the high performing firms leverage technology to achieve tremendous growth. And then I'll just kind of round this out. That's it. This is my favorite thing on this part. Last year's best performing firms were twice as likely to digitize, automate, and redeploy.
Yes. So. Yes, exactly. And I want to make a point on those things, because really tying into what we just shared, it's not just that you've digitized and then you invest in automation. It's that you digitize, which means you're putting all of your information in one place in the cloud so that you can do great and impactful things with it. And then when you automate, you're automating in volume and you are hitting key points in the talent lifecycle and in the client lifecycle. Like, there's so much you can do with automation on the client side. And since we know that winning new clients is now the number one priority, we're actually seeing a lot of customers who do invest heavily in automation starting to move from focusing so heavily on the candidate side into the client side and what they can do there. So it's doing that in a very thoughtful way and then reevaluating. And I say re because to Lauren's point, it's not just a one-time thing, but evaluating and reevaluating how you are redeploying talent. Because everyone, all organizations out there, and this is why they're hiring staffing firms or workforce management companies, is to get access to labor pools. And the more that firms can create pools and better leverage their own database, the more they're going to lower costs, the more they're always going to have the right talent to deploy to their customers. And so redeployment of talent for a staffing firm is so crucial. And that was one of the main drivers we saw the firms who are growing year over year.
Well, and it still depresses me just a skosh that our redeployment numbers are still so dismal. When you know we've been talking about this, I mean, as long I think as I've been in this industry, last 20 years, redeployment has been a part of the conversation. And I think something that gets lost on firms is the purpose of an ATS, right? Is not for digital candidate hoarding, much to the surprise of many, I'm sure. But it's not for candidate hoarding. It is so that you can take the pressure off all of the marketing spend. You can nurture a database. You can cultivate a community. You can create connection. That's the purpose of an applicant tracking system, is so that you don't now have to just lean into heavy spend on advertising, that you now have a database of candidates that you can lean into. And yet it's something that we still have not been able to master. High-performing firms are doing a much better job at this. I'd say, you know, there's some verticals better than others, but it still fascinates me that this is a topic of conversation. And then there was some interesting data that came from Gig E this year on client automation and how little client automation is happening right now, like comparatively to, you know, the candidate side. And you're right, Gretchen, there's so much opportunity. We talk about automation all the time, you know, people on relationships, technology on repetition. Automation is made for those repetitious types of tasks, which are plentiful on the client side.
Yes, even simple things like serving a hiring manager after a candidate has started. Like, how is it going? Right? Getting that data right up front. Or in the sales process, using a tool like WalkMe or other automation that can help a salesperson see easily, like, here's what I do next because I've achieved this. Getting them all the way through the sales process. Because to your point earlier, we all need to go back to basics, you know, post-COVID. So that's right. There are so many things.
I just want to say, because this was drilled into my brain, if it's not in Bullhorn, it didn't happen.
That's right. And if you're using documented, it didn't happen.
And like that should just go for all systems, right? Like if you don't have use your system of record, then what's nice about the system of record is it can work for you if you do the minimal amount, if you do what's prescribed, right?
Yes.
In the ATS can start to work for you through automation. It's not just a repository, to Lauren's point. It can actually be an engine, right?
Correct.
To help drive. And then you can also drive redeployment.
Yes, it can. And that's a great place to start because we just said it can be such a driver of revenue. Like we see very concrete results. We look at our customers who deploy automation and our customers who do not deploy automation. You know, and the grid survey tells a story that those who are investing heavily in automation grow. And we literally see that. We know that customers who deploy automation see a 21% increase in redeployment. Like that alone, if you can just focus on redeployment with automation, it will move the needle.
That's a lot of
move the margin needle. You may have more on candidates that are redeployed. I mean, it's just facts from, you know, from a tax perspective. I mean, my goodness, the fact that a firm wouldn't take advantage of that, it's like,
But you ask recruiters where they go first, and it's not the database. It's somewhere else.
No. What do they do? What do recruiters do? They're like, okay, let's post a job. And let's
spend money looking on job boards, looking at candidates.
Of course.
Yes.
Waste.
Stop that.
All right. Moving on.
Yes.
All right. this point number two, top performers are doubling down on digital transformation in 2023.
Tell us more.
This is a lot. Yeah. There's a lot of stats in here.
There are a lot of stats in here. I think I mentioned the 70% before, but I'll share that again, that there is a large percentage, really majority of the staffing industry that either isn't quite doing anything to digitally transform, or they're in very early stages. Like maybe they're working to digitize their data and they're scratching the surface on automation, but they haven't made past that yet. And, you know, we talked some about not having the internal competency and the importance of having the right either internal resources or right partners to help you do that. And then beyond that, there is so much more you can do from a self-service standpoint, from an AI standpoint, from an insights and analytics standpoint. That's when you really start to unlock the value of your database. And I think when companies get to that point in digital transformation, that's when their users stop going outside to all these external, you know, sources, because they know the value and they walk in every day and their whole day, their whole activity is driven by the insights they get right within their system. And they know they've got all these cool things working for them so they can spend the time on like the fun stuff in their job. Not the icky admin stuff, but they know they're going to get matches with quality candidates that they're going to be able to get to their customers and spend time talking with on the phone ASAP. So I think that's what we're seeing. I know we're also seeing, and this is kind of like off the grid.
Hey, I see what you did there.
That's not good. But we know that the talent platform organizations out there are way outpacing traditional staffing firms in terms of revenue growth year over year. And the talent is saying, that's what we want. We want a seamless digital experience when we work with any firm that we're going to engage with on an opportunity. And that is the opportunity for everyone across the staffing industry. And it doesn't take a whole overhaul to get there, just one step at a time. But we do see a path for our customers who are more advanced to be able to compete very well against the talent platform. If you look at digital technology versus digital technology, they can get there.
Yes.
The path, very
good. And having competed against the Blue Crew jobs before, it was, you know, purchased by EmployBridge and Wonolo and Stella. You know, the piece that's missing there in some of these, even Top Towel Graphite, you know, some of the Upwork professional services, is still that what we are so good at in staffing and creating meaningful relationships and handholding. And and I got to tell you, I got my rear end handed to me from a sales perspective when I was up against Blue Crew job for 1 year. For 1 year, they took every friggin' account. And because customers bought into, you know, the woo-woo of being able to, just get on an app and and people magically appeared. But guess what? When the shiznit hit the fan, that app was nowhere to be found, right? Exactly. And so we are the facilitators of those relationships and problem solvers. And if we are tech-enabled, meaning we can provide that type of ease in combination with the service that we deliver, no one can beat us. We will never be irrelevant.
Is the true competitive advantage. That's it.
Yes.
Imagine that if you have the tech and the service that these firms will not be able to provide. Yeah, that's the power.
Well, and that's that EmployBridge acquisition. You know, I've heard Billy talk about it. I mean, it's so exciting because it is both sides of that coin, you know, service at this high level and output at this high level, and then technology enablement. I mean, I think it's fierce.
Agreed.
Yeah, that is a distinct advantage now, for sure.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. They got to execute.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah, and then this.
Okay, always.
Yeah. And then this is that this, you know, top performers who are investing in technology in 2023, so high performers, 60% flat growth, 32% in terms of growth. Right. So, but the investment again has to do with people as well, running the technology. I just want to reiterate
for
that.
Sure.
And making sure that you go to Lauren to help get trained.
But what I will say is what I am finding right now in particular is some agencies getting back to old habits of overcomplicating the buying process. Sure. And you know, I saw a couple 25-page RFIs, and that can be an impediment when we, you know, technology is moving too quickly for us to be in this lethargic, drawn out, belabored process to procure technology. So you've got to understand at the core what your firm needs, be able to articulate it, be able to understand what your workflows are. And I know I'm oversimplifying, but it doesn't have to be as complicated as I'm seeing agencies make it. You know, let a consulting firm or, you know, let some of the vendors, you know, they should be shepherding you through some of this. So, you know, don't make it over complex because, again, that's putting so much pressure on, you know, one small solution.
Yes, I think that's right on. Just be ruthless with your priorities because it's hard to pick everyone all the time and a lot of times. And I get it. Like a lot of cooks are in the kitchen and making these decisions and everyone's got a lens that they're looking at it through. And that's when it can become really long and drawn out for sure.
Yes.
All right. Moving on.
Okay.
Developing new clients is, again, the number one priority for staffing firms. Winning new business overtakes talent acquisition as a top priority for the first time in 6 years. And I'll let you take it away, Gretchen.
Yeah, sounds good. I think we already talked about a lot. Yeah. Like when I was in aha and such a change, you know, year over year and seeing it come on, you know, the way firms are reacting to that and definitely seeing a lot more time spent on training and enablement on basic sales practices, you know,
leads and opportunities.
Yes. Leads and opportunities. That's right.
Come on, guys. If you're not, you have leads and opportunities with your sales team right now and you are a bullhorn user.
Most people.
Call me. Because y'all need some help.
I would like that training too one day, by the way.
I will be happy to give it to you.
Sweet. I mean, I made a job decision based on this slide, kind of. So it's not that weird. Uncertain economic time, reduction in job recs because we're not just taking orders, and pricing pressure because you know, sometimes you have this death spiral to the bottom. I was just talking to some of my favorite customers in Omaha, like travel nursing groups, and they were talking about, you know, that it's, you know, when you're reverse marketing a candidate, you know, your most placeable candidate, whatever you want to call it, that the first thing that the facility or the hospital asks is like, what's the rate? And then they're creating bidding wars against each other.
Yes, absolutely.
So it's
absolutely,
you're going to have to start really like being able to, I have some customers who I work with who grade their clients, or their prospects. And two of the things here, right? Like, price, time to feedback, you know, job recs, all those things are coming into the grade. Have you worked with them before?
Yeah.
Right. So being able to grade out those customers so that you don't get pushed down to the bottom, right? You don't have this death spiral and you can really focus on working with good clients.
That's so true. And back to the advantages of full digital transformation. If you do have all of your data in one place and you've got a great, you know, insights tool overlaid, you can see very easily who your most profitable customers and your most profitable reps or your most profitable geographies are. And wouldn't it be great if you could spend most of your time, you know, in those areas generating those same things over and over again? So, yes, I think, you know, saying yes or no to prospects or customers is really important. I think another piece of this that didn't quite show up in the grid data, but we know is happening, I'm sure it did in some way, but the complexity of the customers that staffing firms are dealing with today continues to increase, and their demand for new and different and evolving business models is increasing. So we know that direct sourcing is a hot word out there right now. And I don't know if you know this, actually only 1% of customers are deploying direct sourcing strategies today, but it's something like 50% plan to do that in the next year or two. So it's coming and firms need to be ready. They need to be able to answer that call or share with their customers why maybe that business model isn't needed. And here are the services that they can provide instead to get them access to talent, which is what all firms are looking for.
Well, and I think this is also a symptom of generational. Now we have a new generation in the client seat. We have millennials in the client seat, right? They're going to expect a new and different way to receive their talent, their information, and then consumerism, right? So I think that this is what where we counsel firms is you've got to meet the customers and the candidates where they are. And whether that's on chat or text or email or on a website where they can order themselves, you know, it's that consumerism has entered the job market, period. We're not getting away from it. People loved ordering Crumble cookies during COVID, myself included, right?
I talk about Crumble cookies all the time.
Mostly because they're just not good for my butt. They're just not good for my butt, but they're so good in my
guys. Lauren, TMI, you know, very TMI.
You're right.
About Crumble cookies or about consumerism?
About consumerism.
Yeah.
Okay, we're devolving. No, but we got so good at, you know, returning things on Amazon and, you know, ordering things on Amazon and getting our Instacarts and getting all of these things. And all of that is trend. We've talked about this endlessly. All of that has transitioned here. But when we see data like this, we also know that that generational chain means we have a different audience on the customer side we have to be cognizant of. And I think we're going to see more and more shifting as millennials, you know, start. Gen Z is coming in hot.
Well, right now, I think the data is, sorry, Lauren, to feedback off you, is most resumes and stuff on the client side are still viewed through desktop, but it's like 25-30% are mobile now. But like younger millennials and Gen Z, when they get to the point where they're hiring managers and they're reviewing resumes, like they're going to do it on their phone. So you're going to have that ready to go.
You're going to have to be prepared. That's right. Yeah. We've got some really cool BLS data that shows every generation and what technology they like and some of their other preferences. And you're right on. I mean, there's no silver bullet. And sometimes we see firms looking for that, right? You've got to do all of these things to meet all of these needs across the board. Should you prioritize? Yes, because you can't do everything at once. But back to our earlier point that this has to be, it's a journey and you have to be constantly evolving and adding to and testing and getting better.
I think this.
That is key right there, Gretchen. It's okay to test.
Yes.
It is okay to experiment. Correct. I don't think we've been very good at allowing ourselves to try things out.
Yeah. I have this like mindset, right? Where you're like, everyone's a product manager if you're running a business. So like, you got to talk to the customer and figure out what the product is, whether that's your internal team or your actual customers or the candidates you're talking to.
Sure.
And you're just constantly evaluating and reassessing and recreating. But you're like, if you look at it from a SaaS business, you're a product manager, right? You're trying to, you know, get really good at interviewing people to figure out what you need to actually, or where you need to go or where you need to be going. Or if you're too late already, then you need to catch back up. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right.
Great. Yeah.
Rolling on. Okay,
last word.
The labor market remains tight and firms are developing existing talent pools in response. And I'd like to call it TV timeout on this one. I'm going to use my Zach Morris TV timeout. Hopefully everyone knows that reference.
I do.
thank you, Gretchen.
Yeah.
Was that Saved by the Bell?
It was. Good job.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, you guys were watching Saved by the Bell. I was raised by my grandparents and I was watching Matlock and Murder, She Wrote. So go ahead and enjoy.
Well, that's a nice thing too. but the talent pool thing, you should have been building them anyway.
Right.
Like, I'm a little upset, but I just want to get it off my chest and now I will move on. Sorry, Gretchen, go ahead.
No. That's right on. As you think, back to our conversation earlier, if you think about how long some of these firms have been in business in their area of specialty or for the big high volume players, just how much ground they've covered from a talent perspective. I mean, a lot of these firms have a sizable percentage of the market that even exists out there. Like, there's literally not too many more net new candidates to get at this point, except those who are coming into the workforce. So, yes, again, how can you leverage those golden people you already have in your database? But back on the talent shortage piece too, we did see an uptick. I mean, we've been talking about talent shortage all day, every day for the last many, many years. But this year we saw that 56% of participants in our survey said talent shortage is a major problem, where only 44% did a couple of years ago. So different market too, obviously, right? But it is interesting.
I'm reading through the slide for this, and
yeah, there's another good stat here, Rob, and that's on the candidate lifecycle challenges.
Okay.
28% of firms say that sourcing is the biggest challenge in the candidate lifecycle.
So 30% of firms, ish, 28, like think that finding them. And, you know,
top of the funnel sourcing. Yes, exactly. When again, there might
that's really hurtful.
Right, tell it right there in their genitive.
That hurts. That hurts deep to the core, Lauren. Right. I don't know. I'm
Well, there's more data behind this. If you saw Heather McGowan speak at Gigi, we're in the greatest labor shortage since World War II.
That's right.
You know, and we have 64% of unemployed men have a criminal record. So do we need to change our hiring practices? We're down 10% as far as, you know, men participating in the workforce.
Right.
But women have earned 10% more degrees than men. But all of that to say, upskilling, reskilling, retention, these are all opportunities in this talent-starved market for us to relieve a little bit of the pressure. And that's why nurturing those databases is so incredibly important. It's why you spent all that money with CareerBuilder and Monster and ZipRecruiter and Indeed for the last, you know, 20 years, for the love of God, you know, nurture that work. Don't lose, you know, your investment. And, you know, so often we just look outwardly first before, you know, we search inwardly, and it's just, it's bad teaching and a bad practice.
Agreed. And Rob, you said this before, like the talent pooling should have started a long time ago. And if you're not doing it now, yes. I mean, to Lauren's point, do it now, because everything that you just said, Lauren, like those scary stats, it is not going to get any better. We've got baby boomers who are going to be really leaving the workforce. They are a resource in the workforce.
Yeah.
You're going to be leaving very soon. And you can already start to see that number, like pre-COVID and post-COVID. There are many less baby boomers in the workforce today. They're just opting out. They're ready to retire. And we're not going to be replaced. The birth rate across the globe continues to drop. I mean, we literally are not going to have enough people to fill the jobs that we need. So, I mean, aside from driving your revenue, goodness sake, we need people to do work. And I know that's why everyone is in the staffing industry. So we've got to make sure that we're setting the right foundation. I mean, for now, but for the future.
Yeah.
Yeah. The great resignation, the great retirement. These are all things happening right now. And if we're not prepared for them, both from a technological perspective and from an organizational perspective, you know, there's going to be a lot of consolidation.
Correct. Correct.
Yep.
Yes. Yeah. Good.
All right. What else you got for us, Gretchen, from the wild world?
Yeah. I think we hit a lot of it.
Okay.
Oh, my goodness. Yes, we did.
We can just talk a little bit about outlook on this year, too, because one of the questions we do ask is, you know, what do you think is going to happen in 2023? And in 2021, I think 62% of firms said they had revenue growth. And last year, it was 68%. And this year, firms are reporting just a bit less than that. So they think there will still be growth, but less than last year. And I think that kind of sums up what I'm hearing and feeling across our customer base, right?
I heard that today.
Right? January and February were super quiet. You know, there are a lot of people having conversations, but not a lot of people executing on those conversations. And you know, I'm seeing things start to turn around here in March, where people are going, okay, so we're not all, the sky's not falling.
Right.
you know, and we're not dying. So yeah. Maybe I'm ready now. Q2 is when I'm going to be ready. So I see a lot of those conversations being had, a lot of starting in April. So we've got a lot of projects starting in April.
Cool. That's good to hear.
It's April now, so it's good.
Oh, right.
Yeah. We've got a lot of projects starting here in this month, and I think it's a representation of this stagnation and cautiousness that we felt in Q1, and now as you know we go into this next quarter, I think there's a little bit more optimism and a little bit less. I don't know that there's a little bit less fear, but I think people are dipping their toe in the water.
I think that's right, and there's been some real bright. Like we've definitely had some customers who shared like January was our best month in the history of our firm. Where other customers have said, hey, it was the worst month we've had in a really long time. So I think it also depends on who you're serving, what your mix of customers is, what your business model strategy is from a go-to-market perspective. So mixed for sure. But I like to agree with you, Lauren, and think that there is optimism that we're hearing. And, you know, maybe it's a couple more months of wondering what's really going to go on. And then we're executing and going.
There's still 6.5 million jobs more than people. I mean, like those are just.
That's right.
It's just we vacillate between 5 million, 6.5 million jobs that, you know, are out there. But that's still opportunities. So there has to be optimism if we have that many opportunities out there. And again, I think this is why firms are focusing on sales and focusing on their operation, because I think we're going to have to get smart and strategic. On how we're going to sell and execute and close those opportunities.
I was on a demo today and I love this. The owner of the business was like, I like to invest in technology on slower years. Like if we're a little bit slower, we can we can invest in it and adopt. She's like 2022, we weren't buying anything new because we were flying by the seat of our pants. So.
Yeah. But 2021 they were.
Yeah.
So. I mean, I'll just share, like Bullhorn had a great growth year that year because customers were doubling down. They had time to do it. We did a lot of work for customers that year.
Yeah. So anyway, this was fantastic. Gretchen, thank you
so much. Great. Thank you so much.
Did you have fun?
Oh my gosh. This is amazing.
I did. Yeah. A lot.
This was amazing. You know, I love talking data.
Yeah. We nerded out pretty hard.
Numbers. I'm here for it. And it was super informative. So thank you so much for spending time with us.
Right. Absolutely. Thank you for inviting me.
Thank you for listening to the You Own the Experience podcast.
You can catch all our previous episodes at whyweepodcast.com and learn more about our thriving staffing community by signing up for the Why We newsletter.
And coming soon is Staffing Huddle, an online open community dedicated to your staffing success.
I'm Rob.
And I'm Lauren. Go do something good.
Bye, guys.